Returning again to that passage that we read together in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, and our text for this afternoon is found in the verse 12. For the Lord himself says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And we'll bow together in prayer, asking God's help now. Father, we pray for thy help as we come now to preach thy precious word. May we know the help of thy Holy Spirit to come and lead and guide us into truth and righteousness, to reveal to us our blessed Redeemer, so that our eyes and ears are filled with him who is the altogether lovely one. And may our hearts be strangely warmed as he himself draws near, and as the things of God are revealed to our souls. We pray for each and every one in this gathering this afternoon, that they might know that joy and peace with God that's found only in Jesus Christ. Come and bless thy word to our hearts, and give us cause for rejoicing in that our sins and our iniquities are remembered no more. These things we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen. This afternoon I want to speak upon the subject of the God who forgives and forgets. We could have turned to other portions in the Word of God to preach this text. For instance, in Isaiah 43, and in the verse 25, the Lord says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, we hear again these precious words. Thus saith the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. But we've chosen Hebrews 8 and verse 12 as our text, where the Lord says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, one of the clearest teachings that's found in the Bible concerning the Lord is concerning his omniscience. Now you ask, what is omniscience? By that we simply mean that God sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. God is never surprised nor shocked. Maybe someone will give you a piece of information and your reply to them is this, well, that's news to me. Well, nothing is news to God. He is well aware of everything that happens within his universe. He is omniscient when it comes to wars. He wasn't shocked by World War I, nor by World War II, nor by any other hostility taking place in this world. They haven't come to him by surprise. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. And he has heard the clanking of the sword and the crack of the musket and the roar of the cannon right from eternity past. He has known every drop of blood that's been spilled on the battlefields of this world. They have not come to him as a surprise. He's not surprised when we see wicked leaders rise to power across this world. He has the very hairs of their heads numbered. Hitler was not a rude awakening to the Lord. Stalin and Mao and other tyrants throughout history were not unknown to the Almighty, for he says concerning each and every one of us that he knows our frame. Neither is he perplexed by the catastrophic events that shake planet Earth. He saw beforehand the sinking of the unsinkable Titanic. He knew about the great fire of London before it spread throughout that city. He knew about the Boxing Day tsunami before it happened. These things were not an astonishment to him. I'm simply saying that God, from everlasting to everlasting, is all-knowing. The Bible verifies this over and over again. But we read in Hebrews 4 and verse 13 that all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Never forget that there are two invisible eyes that run to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. The book of Proverbs reminds us in Proverbs 5 and verse 21 that the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. Everything we do is seen and noted by God. The ways of man. No trip to the shops. No visit to the restaurant. No appointment with the dentist escapes his attention. He knows what goes on behind the closed doors of our home. He sees what happens in every town and every city throughout this world. He sees the filth. He sees the debauchery. He sees the sin that taints the streets of our towns and cities. He's sensitive to every decision that's made in council chamber and parliament building. There is nothing that appears in our newspapers that is news to Him. Jeremiah asked the question in Jeremiah 23 and verse 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? There is no place that is so dark, or no place so remote, that man can hide from the all-seeing, all-knowing God. The psalmist sums it up for us in Psalm 139. He says, whither, where shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. One person in the Bible in particular who expressed God's omniscience better than anyone was Hagar. Hagar, of course, was the handmaiden of Sarah, the wife of Abraham, to whom God had promised a seed, a son, to carry on his name. And after long years without a son, Sarah decided to take matters into her own hand and give her handmaid Hagar to her husband. And behold, she conceived. But it wasn't long before the jealousy of Sarah overtook her, and she chased Hagar from her presence. And Hagar is now running for her life, afraid of her mistress. And there alone in the wilderness she met the Lord. And He named her son and sent her back to Sarah. And Hagar exclaims before the Almighty, thou God seest me. You know everything about me. You know the very thoughts that I have, the intents of my heart. There's nothing hidden from me. I believe when you read through the Bible, you come to understand very clearly and very quickly that God knows everything about us. He sees our heart. He knows our thoughts. He recognizes our motives. He's able to read the very sentiments of our desires and of our goals. He knows everything about us, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Every hair of our head is numbered. Every thought is written down. God Almighty knows. He is omniscient. May God write that knowledge upon our heart today, that there is nothing hidden from God. That very thought ought to make us tremble. I've often heard people say, God knows my heart. They usually say that by way of trying to excuse themselves for something that they've done that they ought not to do. They say, God knows my heart. As if that somehow makes it better. That terrifies me, that God knows my heart. Because He sees all the wickedness and the corruption and the filth and the sin that's within it. God knows it. But yet here we have read this afternoon in the book of Hebrews, as well as in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, of God saying that there's something that He is intending to forget. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. There are certain things and under certain circumstances that God intends to forget, certain things that He has known from eternity past. It's very difficult for us to associate forgetfulness with omniscience. How can one who is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding, who sees and hears everything that happens, has happened, will happen, how is it possible for one who is omniscient to forget? It's easy for me to associate forgetfulness with myself because I am finite. I'm human just like you are. It's part of our infirmity. It's part of our flesh, our nature. We have all problems with forgetfulness. We forget names of people that we met previously, and we think, I can remember their face, but I forget their name. We forget names. We forget promises that we make. We forget appointments that we have made. We forget where we left our keys. We forget to send that birthday card. We forget that anniversary present, but only the once. And there are times, much to our shame, that we forget God. The psalmist said in Psalm 9 and 17, the wicked, those who know not God, shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It's possible for people to forget God, to live their life without giving thought to Him, to His Word, or to His ways, or to His Son the Savior, and they spend their life without God, forgetting Him. The book of Ecclesiastes finishes with an exhortation to the young to remember. Why? Because you forget so often. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why does God have to remind us to remember Him? Because in our frail flesh we are prone to forget. You see, it's easy for man to be forgetful. But how can we associate forgetfulness and non-remembrance with an omniscient God who knows and sees and hears everything? Yet, over four times in the scriptures, God says, I will remember their sins no more. How can we explain that? Well, this is something that's precious and beautiful for the Christian to consider, that the omniscient God deliberately, purposefully forgets their sins. It's part of His grace and His mercy. The day that God saves you and delivers you from your sin, that He provides you with an inheritance in heaven, that day that His Spirit takes up residence within you, God has said, judicially, I will forget your sins. I will look upon you as those who are justified, perfect in my sight. I will take you and hold you as if you had never sinned. That's what it means to be justified, to be made righteous in the sight of God, that He looks upon us and sees no sin. Our sins are not simply washed away by the blood of Christ's sacrifice. But God has said that in His mind, those sins are forgotten, remembered no more. That moves me, that stirs my heart when I think about it. When I think of how it was sin, right from the very beginning, that marred the creation of God. It was sin that has put thorns upon roses. It's sin that put venom in the fangs of the serpent. It's sins that brought my Savior to Calvary. It's sin that nailed Him there. My sin, your sin, brought Him to the cross, pulled the crown of thorns upon His brow, pierced Him through in hand and foot with wicked, cruel nails, and hung Him in the air to die. It was sin that caused the Savior to go to Calvary. And I am overwhelmed to think that God would so love me, not only to forgive my sins, but to never hold them against me ever again. You know how it is when someone offends you, and you try to do the right thing and you say, well, I forgive you. Until there's an argument. And then you drag up all the past of all the wrong things that person has ever done previously. And in spite of your best intentions to forgive them, you haven't ever forgotten the things that they've done. The next opportunity that you have in an argument, that hatchet that you buried before, you go looking for the handle that's still sticking out of the ground. Well, God has said that not only will He forgive us, but He will remember those sins against us no more. We thank God not only for His forgiveness, but for His forgetfulness. I was 19 when the Lord saved me. 19. And one of the greatest things that I've learned since then is that God has forgiven my sins and remembers them no more. We read in the scriptures of certain things God says concerning our sins. He says He puts them behind His back. But it's almost as if He says that's not far enough. And we're told that he cast those sins into the depths of the sea, but that's still not far enough. Then he takes those sins and he removes them as far as the east is from the west, and that's still not far enough. He tells us that he has blotted them out, that he has erased them from his memory. But you know, sometimes we forget things, we forget where we leave our car keys, and then we say, I remember now. I've remembered the thing that I've forgotten. But God has purposefully said that not only will he forget our sins, but he will remember them no more. No more. They will never be remembered again. And if that Christian doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. That God has said those sins are gone. If the devil, the great accuser, were to come before our Savior and say, hey, what about Ralph Hall? What about him? Well, what about all his sins? All of the wrong things that he's done. All of the cruel things that he's said. All of the wicked thoughts that he's had. What about all of his sins? The Savior will look down from his throne and say, remember no more. Gone. Never to be brought back. I remember when I was first saved, how the devil would come and take the sins of my past and roll them before my mind again, sin after sin. Filth after filth, playing havoc with my mind. Every sin ever committed, leaving almost an indelible mark across my heart at that time. Becoming greatly perplexed with the feelings of guilt that I thought I had been delivered from, and wondering, can this really be Christianity? With the memory of all of my past sins being forever paraded before me, Satan using them to bring me down. God says in his word regarding those sins, I will remember them no more. It's almost as if the Lord is saying, well, if I don't remember them, why should you? Our sins are brought to Christ and laid upon him. And he, through his sacrifice, has paid their debt. And God says they are gone. They are being paid in full. They will be remembered no more. There is no second bill to be paid. Remembered no more. We're really looking at a miracle here. Perhaps one of the greatest miracles in Scripture, where God purposefully, if you like, works a miracle upon himself to remember our sins no longer. Remember, this is the God who can stand on the edge of eternity and with his word make the world and the universe and all that it contains. He can stand on the brink of the Red Sea and roll the waters back that his people can cross over on dry ground. He can come to Daniel as he sits in a den of lions and shut their mouths so that they don't consume. He can make the sun stand still while in the midst of its strength. Can come and open blinded eyes and unblocked, clogged and deafened ears. The one who can mend the heart. The one who can save by his grace. He works a miracle upon himself. Because in the strictest sense, when we use the word omniscient concerning God, it doesn't allow for forgetfulness. It means he must know everything instantaneously. He must know everything that's past and everything that's present and everything that's future. That must all be in his mind at every moment. His omniscience means he sees and knows all things at all times. So for God to say that he will forget and remember our sins no more, something miraculous has happened. To have erased that account of our sins from his memory, for them never to be brought back again. Now God never forgets. He has millions of stars to hold in their place. They've numberless stars. Yet he calls them all by name. He tends to the sun. And he keeps the planets in their orbits. He doesn't forget his universe. If he were to take his mind off it for an instant, everything would be obliterated. He doesn't forget this world. We have sunshine, rain, we have daylight and night, we have seasons, we have harvest, we have everything provided by God's hand. He takes care of even the very swallows above our head. The sparrows are known to him. Not one falls to the ground without his knowledge. He never forgets his children. Before the flood there in Genesis 6, you know what we read? God remembered Noah. When we see Jonah in the whale's belly, we read that God remembered Jonah. When we see Elijah at the brook Cherith being fed by the ravens day and night, God remembered him. He doesn't forget. Twice a day they were sent to feed him. The one who clothes the lily, the one who takes note of every sparrow that falls, hasn't forgotten and will never forget you. And even when at our lowest ebb we feel that the world has passed us by and all have forsaken or forgotten us, God never forgets nor forsakes his children. He never forgets or forsakes. And yet he says, your sins, your iniquities will I remember no more. A miracle that's beyond our comprehension, our ability to explain. Before we were saved, we were enemies of Christ. We were separated from God. But now, we are accepted by him, brought into his family. Our debts have been cancelled, and our sins forgotten. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, we read that as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. He gives us the authority, the legal right to become his sons, to be adopted into his family. Can you imagine having an earthly father who could remember even the most minute sin that you ever committed? He wouldn't have enjoyed having you in his family if he remembered and constantly brought to attention your sins 24 hours a day. God has forgiven us those sins, adopted us into his family. He indwells us then by his Spirit. And as Paul says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Our bodies have become the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Do you think that God, Holy Spirit, would enjoy living in a body in which He remembered and knew the filth of our past? It had to be cleansed away, redeemed, remembered no more. He couldn't be our intercessor if our sins were remembered. Our Savior, as He sits at the Father's right hand, does not bring accusation against us because of our sins. He intercedes for us, not accusing us. He's there to intercede, to recommend us unto God, not to accuse us before. If our sins were not forgotten, we could never be used in the service of God. You watched the other night the life story of John Newton. He had been a slave trader, converted of God, used them to preach His gospel, the writer of that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. And he remembered his many sins, how vile and wicked he had been, how great and many his sins were. How could God use such a man if his sins were not forgiven and remembered no longer? What about Saul of Tarsus, who sought to persecute Christians and put them to death? How could God make of him an apostle to bring His word to the nations round about? Because He could forgive him and wash him and cleanse him and use him, because the sins had been remembered no more. How could God use me if my sins were ever before Him? There would be no usefulness in any of us if God remembered and held our sins against us. We couldn't teach the Sunday school class. We couldn't preach the Word of God. We couldn't sing to His praise. We couldn't evangelize the lost if God were still holding our sins against us. We would be a constant grief before Him. But He has removed our sins. He has removed them from His memory, and He has removed them from the records of heaven. The Bible tells us very clearly that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're told of that great day of judgment, and in that day we're told that the books will be opened. The divine account of every life will be brought before God and read in that day of judgment. And I want you to notice what it says in Daniel 7 and 10. It says, the books were opened. There are multiple volumes regarding our lives and our deeds. John said in Revelation 20, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. What books? The books of your works, the books of your sins, the books of your thoughts and of your deeds. There is a perfect record in heaven. If you are without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an account, a debt before God that must be settled. The only one who can clear your debt is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He went to the cross, to pay the debt for every sin that is upon your account and to erase the record of them from the books of God. He's the only one that can clear your account. And there's only one way that He can get Him to clear it for us. We must come to Him as one of old in the Scriptures did and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. to come to him by faith. It's faith that saves us. We can't point to any good works that we have done when we have got a multitude of evil works to atone for. Christ must save us. His sacrifice must avail. His blood was shed that our debt might be cancelled, our guilts and iniquities blotted out, our sins and iniquities remembered no more. When Jesus Christ is your Savior, the record is cleared, the account is settled, God's memory of our guilt is erased, and we have peace with God. If you dare to stand before God on that day of judgment without Christ as your Savior, the books will be full of every crime, every sin, every wicked thought in your heart, and each of them carry the same sentence before God: the soul that sinneth shall die. An eternal separation from God. Every sin demands that same awful punishment. I pray that you come to Christ for that cleansing that only He can give, for the removing of every guilt that only He can perform, that you come to know God as your Savior and to know His mercy. And that's what it is. He says, I will be merciful. I will not give you what you deserve. I will be merciful to your unrighteousness, and your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. May God write that message upon our hearts. Might we realize that we have no hope outside of Jesus Christ, but in Him we have peace, perfect peace, because our sins are gone. They're gone.